You feel the Holy Spirit in this place this morning?
Amen.
Isn't that good? There's not a feeling like that when you just feel stirred by the Holy Spirit. Want to welcome you to our church this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want to especially welcome you. Glad that you're with us. If you're a first-time visitor or if you've been with us before but have not let us know who you are, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know that you were here. You can just leave that in your seat when you're through with that. There's a place there if you'd like to be on our email list to let us know. I mean, we can let you know when things are going on. We'd love for you to do that. Now, a couple of things that just to kind of highlight this evening at 5:30, I put out an email and it was wrong, and then I corrected it. It's 5:30 tonight. We'll have our Christmas party / dinner. It's going to be in the fellowship hall down here. If you have not, I think the slip in the bulletin says that you needed RSVP by another day. But we've got some extra food. We've made some extra. So if you've not registered, just come. Just come. We will meet down here. The children will sing some Christmas songs for us. And then we will eat a nice brisket dinner together and fellowship. And there's really not a whole lot on the agenda, just being together. So hope that you will come and be a part of that. Also, then next Sunday, a week from today, is our Christmas workshop. If you've not been a part of that, I encourage you to come and be a part of that. Bring your children, bring your grandchildren, bring your neighbor's children, whatever. And if we have too much, not enough stuff, we'll work it out. Carlene and her little elves have been busy at work getting ready for that day. The children make Christmas gifts, usually around 8 or 10 Christmas gifts that they can give to their loved ones. And we need helpers. I think many of you have already signed up for that, and we're really glad that you have. But that's a neat day. Glitter is off limits at the Hatcher booth. Y'all know that. I tell you, y'all have heard me say this before, but I have a piece of glitter somewhere on my body from 1967. It's just randomly floats here and there. I saw it on my cheek earlier this week. So, I mean, I don't know, But anyway, glitter. I don't know. Who came up with that? Somebody look that up and tell me who it is. If they're still living, I'm going to write them a nasty letter. Just kidding. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, notice it says that they were pledged to be married and then he was going to divorce her. But in the Jewish culture, I talked about this some last week, that shortly after puberty, when the Jewish girl entered that phase of her life, usually around 13 or so, she would be pledged to be married and they would spend a year's engagement, and they looked at that as marriage, even though they were still just betrothed to one another. So he would have actually had to divorce her even before they were married. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to stop for just a second. This, believe it or not, there's actually, you read and you hear, there's actually coming from pulpits, not many, thank goodness, but coming from pulpits, that people that actually say the virgin birth didn't happen. Yes, let that sink in for a minute. To me, that is a foundational piece of our doctrine, a foundational piece. If the Holy Spirit came upon her, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was the Son of God. So I just want to make that point there, that I believe this isn't just some fairy tale, that this, the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary Jesus the Christ. Verse 21. The angel goes on, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin, now this happened, this prophecy that I'm fixing to read was out of Isaiah, I believe it was the 7th chapter, I believe. And it was some 700 or 800 years before Christ was born, okay? The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, just saying that name stirs my heart. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. We celebrate that gift. So come, Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority today and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing this Advent sermon series called The First Noel. Now, last week I talked about that word Noel, basically the first Christmas, the first Jesus' arrival, this celebration of his birth. And today's message is Joseph, do not be afraid, overcoming fear. Joseph, do not be afraid, overcoming fear. Now, when our girls were little, I promise, no embarrassing stories, girls. There's no embarrassing stories this morning. But when our girls were little, when I was growing up, I was members of Abilene Swim Club. Anybody ever swam at the Abilene Swim Club? Like two of you. Okay, good. All right. Why was it always so crowded when I was there? But anyway, I grew up at the Abilene Swim Club, and when the girls came along, we joined the Abilene Swim Club, and I don't even know. Is it still open? I mean, it's like 150 years old. But anyway, so we took the girls out to the Abilene Swim Club, and they were little bitty things. And we decided they needed swim lessons one year, and we've got videotape of this if you ever want it. I mean, they had these two cute little lifeguards, you know, and they were trying to teach the girls some swimming lessons, and they were little bitty, and they spent the whole hour just trying to coax them into the baby pool. I'm not kidding you, man. They were just, you know, crying, did not want to get in the baby. Well, finally, we got them where they'd get in, and then we got them where they'd, you know, you could hold them and they'd kick around. You know how you do with little ones. And then we got them to where they would jump off the sides into our arms, and then they kept seeing this diving board. Okay, this diving board. And so after a period of time, it might even been the next summer, they decided they wanted to give the diving board a chance. And so you get up, and I don't know, it was a few feet high. They got out on the diving board, and it was like, I don't think so, you know. So Dad, me, I get in the pool, and I go out there, and I'm treading water out at the end of the diving board. And I'm treading water, and I'm holding my hands up, and I'm saying, come on, Daddy's got you. Daddy's got you. Come on, jump. And eventually the girls got to where they would jump into the water to me and the diving board. You know, it was the trust that they had in their father that allowed them the courage to jump. I believe God has something to teach us from that, church. You know, I may not have been much, but I'd never lied to them. I'd never let them down when it came to when I told them I'll catch you, or Daddy won't let you get hurt, or whatever. I had never let them down in that, and so they trusted me to overcome their fear and to take that plunge off the end of the diving board. How God would like to be that our Daddy, and He is saying to us, "I got you. Whatever life throws at us, whatever obstacle you're facing, I've got you. Daddy's got you." We overcome. We're going to talk about fear today. We overcome fear by realizing that fear is not from God. I want that to sink in for a second. Fear is not from God. If you're feeling fearful about something, guess what? It's not from God. Because fear, it says in the Word, I think I've got it down there, that perfect love drives out fear. And who has perfect love? The Father. The one who's standing there going, Daddy's got you. Daddy's got you. Perfect love drives out fear. There is no fear in love, God's Word tells us. Now, it's interesting. I began to kind of look through the concordance this week as that it's different translations. The old King James said, fear not. That was, you may have grown up with that, fear not. But the newer translations tend to say, do not be afraid. Now, this passage today, it tells Joseph, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and the first thing out of the angel's mouth was, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid that what stands before you, because I want you to think about for a second what Joseph, we talked last week about Mary, what she was facing, what would people think? Kind of one of those deals. What would Joseph think? What would mom and dad think? What would my community think? As I began to show, and they know that I'm not married yet, I'm just betrothed to Joseph, and I began to show my pregnancy. And so now Joseph, you think he wasn't struggling with some stuff. He's thinking, golly, you know, this lady, are they going to think this is my child and that I've been unfaithful to God, that I've, you know, gotten her pregnant before we've actually married? Are they going to think that Mary's been unfaithful and I don't really care, I'm going to marry her anyway? I mean, just think of the struggle that Joseph was going through as well. Now, the angel greets him and says, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Now, we look back through Scripture. Last week, we looked at Mary, Luke chapter 1. The angel appeared to Mary when all this was happening. What was the first thing out of their mouth? Do not be afraid. We look back at the shepherds when the shepherds got the message and they saw the heavenly host in the skies. What did they say to them? Don't be afraid. We look back, Zechariah was married to Elizabeth, who we see in this same passage earlier, where Elizabeth, in her old age, she was a cousin to Mary. She was going to bear a child, and that child ended up being some of y'all know your word. Good. John the Baptist. So she had conceived John the Baptist in her old age. And when the angel appeared to Zechariah, her husband, he said, don't be afraid. I know this is going to kind of freak you out. I know she's past childbearing years. Y'all haven't been able to have a child, but she's pregnant. Now, we go all the way back to the Old Testament. Abraham, who at first was known as Abram, when God calls him and says, leave your land and go, and I'm going to make this mighty nation among your people will be my people, and we'll make covenant together. And the first thing God spoke to Abram was, don't be afraid. Seems as though this issue of fear seems to be something that's kind of all-consuming for God's people. Jesus, moving on to, as Jesus goes to the cross and as he is resurrected and he appears to the women at the tomb, the first thing he told them was, somebody say it, do not be afraid. And then the resurrected Jesus, as he's telling the women, go and tell my disciples to come and meet me here on this mountain, he says, tell them, do not be afraid. It seems as though fear is kind of something we struggle with, something we struggle with. Now, so I want to ask this question of you. How often does fear determine your behavior? Think about that for a second. I really would like to do that, Lord, but I'm afraid of you fill in the blank. I would really like to face that person and try to reconcile, but I'm afraid. I really would like to share my faith with that person, but I'm afraid. I really know that you're going to take care of me, Lord. And this, I know the doctor said cancer. I know you're going to take care of me, but I'm afraid. Fear is not from God. You know, I speak to people all the time as I counsel with folks. One of the things I tell them is that we have two people, forces that are constantly that want our heart. We have the enemy, the devil. He wants our heart. He wants to, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take us out. He doesn't like marriages. He doesn't like you to have joy. He doesn't like you to have peace. He doesn't like you to get along with one another in church. He wants the church to be divided, not united. He wants all sorts of things. He wants destruction in your life. And he's constantly trying to gain a foothold in those things. Fear is one of those things that he uses. But then you also have a Savior who wants abundant life for you. So you constantly have these two people that are constantly wanting to win your heart. God wants to give you abundant life. He wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He wants you to have those things. And yet the enemy wants to take you out. And we have to understand that fear is not from God. It's a weapon of the enemy. You want me to tell you what a weapon of the Lord is? First of all, I spoke about it just a few moments ago, the name of Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. There's power. Are you listening to me, church? There's power in the name of Jesus. It's not just any other name. No, Scripture tells us it's the name that is above every name. Our community group, we've been going through the book of Acts. In the first several chapters after Jesus was ascended back to the Father, and he sends out the apostles, and the church begins, and they begin to heal people, and they begin to rise people from the dead, and they begin to do all kinds of miraculous things. And the leaders of the Jewish people were intimidated by this, and they would arrest the disciples, and they would many times they would beat them, and they'd want to kill them, but they were afraid from the people. And so what they'd usually do, they'd arrest them and they'd scold them and they'd beat them. And then they'd say, we're going to let you go. Stop speaking in that name. Stop speaking in that name. They knew there was power in the name of Jesus. Do we know that there's power in the name of Jesus? Man, use it. Wield it like a sword. I mean, just wield the name of Jesus. When you begin to that's hard to say, feel fearful, pull out the name of Jesus. Tell the enemy who you belong to. Tell him who you are, that he is a defeated foe. There's also power in the Word of God, and there's power in our testimony, and I just talked about that. There's power. When we tell the enemy, I belong to Jesus, there's an old song, Dennis Jernigan. I think y'all might, Mark, did y'all sing that? I Belong to Jesus a few weeks ago. Great, great song, but the message is even greater. I belong to Jesus. Get your hands off of me. Fear, get your hands off of me. I will not succumb to fear because I belong to Jesus. Use it. Fear is not from God. Secondly, we overcome fear by replacing fear with faith. The direct opposite of fear is faith. Now, but here's the problem with faith. Faith is not a sure thing. If it was a sure thing, it wouldn't be faith. When I was at the, it's true. It sounds silly, but it's true. When I was in the water and I was holding out my hands to my daughters and saying, come on, jump to daddy. It's going to be okay. I'm going to catch you. When I would say those things, they weren't certain of it, but they knew that Dad had never let them down. They knew that Dad had never said, I'll catch you, and then walk away. They trusted their daddy. Do we trust our daddy? Faith is not a sure thing. Faith requires an act of the will to trust God even when things don't seem to make sense. A great story, I love this story that James Dobson tells this about when his little boy was younger. And they took him to the pediatrician and he had this terrible earache and had been in terrible pain for a long time, and they finally got him to the into the pediatrician, and the pediatrician said, there's an infection that's literally attached itself into your son's inner ear, and I've got to go in there. It's going to hurt, and I've got to go in there with some tools and literally pull this infection off of his ear, and it's going to be very painful, and we'll try to deaden it up the best we can, but it's still, he's not going to like this. And it's the only way we got to get this infection off so that his ear will heal. Now, James Dobson, being daddy, he knew this was going to be good, ultimately going to be good for his son. But his little 2-year-old son had no idea. And James Dobson tells him this story where he remembers the doctor asked him, will you help me hold down your son while I do this? And he said there was this wall that was mirrored. And he said, I'm holding down my son as this doctor goes to pull this infection off of his ear. And he said, I'm looking in this wall, this mirrored wall, and the reflection, my son is also looking in the mirror, and our eyes are meeting in this mirrored wall. And he said, I'll never forget the look on my son's face as I held him down as this doctor removed the infection. He said, it was this look that said, Daddy, why are you betraying me? Why are you allowing this man to hurt me? And it was just that look. And as he cried and screamed, and they got the infection off and he healed up. But Dr. Dobson said, I knew what had to happen. My son didn't know, but I knew. At the time, he said to him, it looked like Daddy was allowing him to be hurt. But I knew that this was ultimately going to be for his good. Trusting God. Faith is trusting God when things don't seem to make sense. You ever gone through that season in your life where things seem out of control? I'll say this, I'm becoming more and more convinced of it the longer I'm in ministry. I believe God does his best work in the most trying times of our life. That's what I bet you, if we just went through and asked everyone, we have testimonies that go, you know, when I got close to God, my life was out of control. Things were out of control. And the only place I had to reach was to God. God works through the trials in our lives, the uncertain times, and he is faithful to us, and he wants us to be faithful to him. So we overcome fear by replacing fear with faith. I don't know about you, but God has been faithful to me enough times that I just know whatever the future holds, God is going to pull us through it. Is there any testimonies to that in the room? That God will see us through. He has proven himself trustworthy to us. And finally, we overcome fear by focusing on the big picture. Focusing on the big picture. Listen to the big picture that Joseph heard. You know, what he was seeing with his own eyes was he was seeing that my wife-to-be, this woman I'm pledged to be married to, has said that she's pregnant from the Holy Spirit, okay? What are people going to think? You know, all his reputation, he felt like, was probably at stake. All of his life was chaos. But here's what the angel painted the big picture for him. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I would imagine Joseph thought, well, we need that. We need to be saved from our sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Joseph, the big picture was, you know, this might damage my reputation a little bit. People that don't understand, it might do that. But the big picture is, this is the Savior of the world. This is the Savior of the world. I would say the big picture trumped his circumstances, don't you? Sometimes we just have to look at the big picture. What is God trying to do through this broken time of your life? The Apostle Paul says it this way in Philippians 3. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Pressing on towards the goal. Walking in faith and not fear. So I ask you again, church, how many things in our lives are determined by fear? How many of our decisions are determined by fear rather than faith? Just let that soak in a second. This passage actually came to me this morning. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And I would add in there not just whom, but what. How is fear controlling us? If you'll just bow your head with me, church. Father, we thank you that because of you, we do not have to be afraid. Because you have defeated every foe, including the ultimate foe of death. You have overcome death. Because of that, we can fear not. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall we be afraid of? We thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are God in our lives. And there is no weapon that's formed against us that will prosper. There is no circumstances too big for you. There is no depression too deep. There is no woundedness too big to overcome that loving daddy that says, "Jump, I've got you." In Jesus' name, amen. As we partake of this meal this morning, you know, heard me say it before, but this meal, I mean, it's where everything comes together. Our faith comes together at this meal. And Jesus said, he said, when you partake of this meal, to remember him. But I want to add, and I think he also would say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Remember me. Remember me. Remember what I have done for you. Remember how I feel about you. Do not be afraid. Remember me. My body is broken for you. That's how much he loves us. And Jesus, that last night, he also took the cup and he understood the significance of the cup, that it represented his blood that he would shed for all mankind the very next day. And he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you." Do you understand that, church? Poured out for you. As often as you drink it, remember me. And do not be afraid. As we come to this meal today, I know we come from all sorts of different backgrounds, with all sorts of different teachings, but I just want to tell you how I read Scripture, okay? I'm a man of the Word. Jesus said that we are to partake of this meal to remember Him. I don't see anything else. I don't see anything else there. Partake of this meal and remember Him. To come to this meal with a repentant heart, not to come in perfection, but to come in our brokenness. We come in our brokenness and we remember what He's done for us. And so we begin that process of this meal confessing our brokenness. If you'll just bow your head and just in your own heart, confess your sin before a mighty and holy God. powerful name of Jesus, you are forgiven, church. Amen. If our praise team and sound team and servers will come forward, please. Christ our Lord has invited us to His table. If you repent of your sin and you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you've confessed Christ as your Lord and you repent of your sins, you are welcome. We have these two stations here and these two stations on this end. You'll be handed a piece of bread and you dip the bread into the juice, partake in that manner. The center section here has the individual little crackers and the individual cups. You can come and partake in that manner if you would like. The altar rail is open. You're also, no one is required to come. If you do not feel led to come, you have our blessing on that as well. We hope that you will feel welcome to come. God has invited us to His table. Come.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Like never before, oh my soul, I will worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship Your holy name.
I will worship.
I will worship Your holy name. I will worship Your holy name. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above.
Tell someone. God bless you. See you tonight. God bless you.
I